and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the confession of forgiveness found on page 95 in the front of the hymnal, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Confession of forgiveness found on page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following in the front of the hymnal. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 876. We sing verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn 876, Let the Whole Creation Cry, verses 1 and 3. First page of your worship bulletin or the first page of the readings and prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice, steadfast love, and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from you. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading of the day is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do, according to your word, indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I typed the bulletin wrong. Go figure. The psalm, I did not put light and bold print for the antiphonal reading. We are going to do it this way. Joseph will read the odd number verses. You and I, together in unison, will read the even numbered verses as they are printed there. So odd number verses, Joseph, the lector, and then even number verses, you and me.
Psalm of the day is 119, verses 129 through 136. "Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them.
The unfolding of your words gives light, it imparts understanding to the simple.
With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom towards those who love your name.
Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and equity have dominion over me.
Redeem me from human oppression, that I may keep your precepts.
Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
My eyes shed streams of tears because your law is not kept."
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. "Likewise, the Spirit helps you in your weakness, or in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. For those whom God foreknew, God also predestined to be confirmed to the image of the Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom God predestined, God also called. And those whom God called, God also justified. And those whom God justified, God also glorified. What then are we to say about those things? If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not withhold God's own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will God not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is the Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of Christ. Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, we stand in honor of the Gospel reading and the Word in our midst, but due to the length of the Gospel, I invite you to be seated so you're not distracted by the length and when I might be done reading. You may follow along or simply listen to the parables once again. Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowd around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen." Jesus put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed into their field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in her joy, she goes out and sells all that she has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of the fine pearl. And in finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into the baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, Savior, Jesus the Christ. The texts for today's sermon are from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, he's actually meaning also the kingdom of God. And there are some theologians like myself who say that he even goes farther than that. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's basically saying God is like thus and so. So listen again. God is like a mustard seed that someone took in the field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree. So that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And I would even say that the fox and the jackals lie in its shade. Nobody would ever sow a mustard seed in their field on purpose. Because mustard seeds 2,000 years ago were weeds. Why God isn't like a vineyard with nice rows of vines and grapes, or like the cedars of Lebanon that are tall and stately, or like olive trees that take a whole generation to produce fruit, but boy, those olives are so good, and olive oil is the best. A mustard seed? And yet, the mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds, carrot seeds are even smaller, asked me about gardening once. I tried it in Montana. I sneezed in the bowl of carrot seeds, and they went everywhere. Wasn't good. I had a good carrot crop, though. Had to thin them out. A mustard seed can grow 15 to 18 feet tall. A huge shrub is what it is, not really a tree. They're getting poetic there, Jesus. But it's a shrub where the birds of the air can nest in it, and even the jackals and the foxes can find shade. God is like a mustard seed? Yeah. It doesn't take much of his love to infect everything and to grow into a whole nation and people of God, as we heard in the first reading. God is like one who lets all come and make a home in the kingdom, is what I say. No one is turned away from the bush or the shrub, the birds of the air, the fox or the jackal. God is like one who says, all may come and make a home in my kingdom. And the kingdom grows from a small thing to a great thing. From a weed to the tree of life. Jesus says, God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. God is like one who leavens all with God's love, no matter how great or how small. A dinner roll, which I can eat 5 or 6 of at a sitting, or San Francisco sourdough bread, which I love to buy at the grocery store. Leaven 2,000 years ago wasn't yeast that we use today in our baking. I think of Betty Ruff and all the rolls that she ever made. I could eat 10 or 12 of her rolls. It's not yeast. Leaven is that thing that they use as a starter for sourdough bread. And too little leaven is worthless. Too much leaven causes food poisoning. Really sourdough bread, okay? Leaven 2000 was a starter for breads. There can be too little, there can be too much, but it leavens the whole thing. God's love permeates all of creation and leavens all of us, makes us grow, makes us rich and yummy. And so we go from leaven to the bread of life. Jesus says, God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in her joy she goes and sells all that she has and buys the field. God is like one who is a treasure worth your whole livelihood. That's the bottom line for me. God is like a treasure who's worth your whole livelihood, everything you own and have. And yet, if you pick apart parables, they aren't meant to be picked apart and looked at analytically. We did this in Sunday school this morning. What is the person doing in someone else's field anyway? It's somebody else's field. And we know that because they went and they purchased the field from the owner because they found a treasure that they hid. Why didn't they tell the owner about the treasure chest they found? You know, Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing. Oh my, arr, maybe. There's some holes here. I think what Jesus is saying, though, is God is like one who is a treasure worth your whole livelihood. Jesus goes on to say, again, the kingdom of heaven, God is like a merchant in search of a fine pearl. And in finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Same thing. God is like one of the greatest pearls, one of the greatest jewels that's worth everything you have, your whole livelihood. And so God is a part of your life. God is with you. And then finally, the last one, which I love. Again, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, God is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into the baskets, but threw out the bad. God is like one who catches everyone, people of every kind, into God's net. It doesn't matter whether you're good, bad, or ugly. We are all caught in the net. We are all caught up in God's love and forgiveness and steadfast mercy. Now, whether we respond to that or not, that's up to the fish, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God is the one who catches us all up and loves all of us and forgives all of us and cares for all of us, whether we like it or not. My father went deep sea fishing once. We loved the ocean. We loved the coast. He only did it once. Seasickness. Yeah. A small little boat. I don't know how many miles, 5 miles offshore or some crazy thing. And he came back and he was so proud. He held up this fish and goes, look what I caught. And my mother and I, my sister, we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. Because it wasn't a bluefin tuna. It wasn't a Chinook salmon. It wasn't even a sardine, it was a flounder. And if you've never seen a flounder, flounders are flat fish. They're really good to eat when you know how to cook them. But they got eyeballs on one side of their head, okay? Two eyeballs on one side. And so he held up this thing and the fish was looking at it through his eyeballs. It was dead, you know? And we laughed and laughed at that. Really? And you want us to eat that thing? I don't know if we ever did or not. I think he gave it to the boatman, to the fisherman on the boat and said, here, you take care of it. But flounders are good fish to eat. God catches us all up in the net, the good, the bad, and the flounders, and loves each one of us. It's all love God back and to be in relationship with God. With this group of parables, Jesus and Matthew both punctuate the message that the kingdom of heaven, that God is like one who embraces the marginalized, the unclean, and the left out. Weeds, flounders, and merchants who are crooked, wanting to look for the greatest jewel. God works with and embraces the marginalized, the unclean, and the left out. God loved that fish my dad caught. Eyeballs bulging at us, poor thing. Then we weren't even respectful enough to eat it. Hopefully the fisherman on the boat did, though. I think that's the message for us in the parables for today. We can pick them all apart. God is like a thief? Huh? God is like a woman making bread? Huh? Food poisoning? Huh? No. God's love can permeate all of us. God's love and forgiveness and care can be a part of all of our lives. And then we respond to it like yeast, and we rise to the occasion, pun intended. We proof ourselves two or three times. I was watching Julia Child on her baking channel, PBS, last night, reading the newspaper. And the guest baker said, "You punch it." And good old Julia Child, I love her dearly. I used to watch her back in the old days when it was the first run. She punched that bowl of starter bread. They were making bagels, actually. And she loved it. This little old lady, 80-some years old, okay, still making TV programs and people watching like me, punching bread. Jesus is the bread of life that we come to and we nourish ourselves on. Jesus is the one who permeates our very being with his own body and blood, that we might know God's steadfast love. Somebody in Sunday school said, "Why does Jesus talk about parables all the time? He speaks in parables." So, you know, who understands the parables? For 2,000 years, theologians and preachers have been trying to understand these parables. And my simple answer is because people don't listen. For 3 weeks in a row, you've had verses 1, 2, 3a. And Jesus says, "Listen." All through the Bible, what are the prophets and the people of God, men and women, trying to tell people? God loves you. It's that simple. God loves you. But do people listen? No. So God had to send his son to earth. Sent his son to earth that we might finally know how much God loves us. And we didn't listen to his son either. In fact, we hung him out to dry. We crucified him and said, "Forget it. You don't play by the rules that we play by. You're not the son of God. Who do you think you are?" And we hung him on a cross. Listen, you and I included, by the way. Not just the Roman centurions, not just the Hebrew temple officials, but you and I. We don't listen. The same message every week is God loves you. God forgives you. God cares for you. Be in relationship with God. But we're the stubborn husband or the stubborn wife who say, "I'm not going to listen to you. What do you know?" I don't have a wife in my family or in my household. I do have a mother and a sister, and I talked to both of them yesterday. I didn't listen. I didn't listen to them. They were trying to tell me what to do and how to be and all that kind of thing. And it's like, oh, really? I think sometimes we, as children of God, don't listen to the father, the parent, when God says, "I love you." The second reading for today is so important that in the past 37 years, almost every funeral I've officiated at, I read this lesson. It's so important that for 37 years, on the bottom of my church stationery, I have Romans 8, verse 39. Every single letter I've ever sent out to anybody in 37 years has that verse on it. I want to share it with you again. Paul writes the same thing that Jesus is trying to say in the parables. Paul says to the early church of Rome, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." When you don't listen to the husband, the wife, the mother, or the sister. "For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." And then comes the good part. This is a tattoo you can put on your back. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The one parable about what God is like and how much God loves you is the one who died for you, who sacrificed himself for you, that you might finally understand how much God loves you. God gave his only begotten son that you might have life, that you might have love, that you might be forgiven. But how many of us listen? Are you like the stubborn brother or the stubborn son who speaks yesterday to both sister and mother and just goes, "Okay, I hear you, but I'm not listening"? The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like, God is like
and you fill in the blank. Amen.
Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, Heirs of the Church. We confess our faith in these same words, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers Elizabeth Eaton and our bishops. We pray this whole month, one more day after today left in July, St. John's Vacation Bible School program. We pray for the students, the staff, the teachers, parents and families, and all those who were involved this year, this month. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. We pray for people across the nation. They are now saying that two-thirds of the United States population are suffering from heat wave and wildfires. So we pray for all those people affected by that. And for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. A prayer of thanksgiving, joy, and celebration. We pray for the birth of Jonah Liam Cruz, born on Wednesday, to Bradley and Kayla Cruz. The great-grandparents are Gary and Kim Ferguson. So we celebrate with the family. Those of you who follow Facebook and that, Kayla had a rough time in birth and we almost lost her to death. But thank goodness for doctors and the miracle of medicine and the hospital and walking the hallways, feeding the baby, holding the baby, and maybe even going home tomorrow. So we say a prayer of thanksgiving for the mother and the father, who I'm sure was just as upset, and also for the healthy Jonah Liam Cruz. And then due to death and burial, we remember in our prayers Don Carlson, who died earlier this year, but his family is gathering this weekend for a memorial gathering and scattering his ashes at one of their favorite spots. So remember Don in our prayers also. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. You call your church to announce the gospel of reconciliation and truth, both near and far. Guide your church as it seeks your wisdom, trusting your Spirit bearing witness among us. Lord, in your mercy, Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creations. You bring forth all creation and call it good. Instill in all people the need to be good stewards of all you give us. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the field. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires, especially those across our nation. We pray for those who lost property and livelihood due to the flooding in Vermont and the monsoons of India. Lord, in your mercy, Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Instill in all who govern the ability to discern between good and evil. Free those who are oppressed and protect those facing danger. Promote peace across the world and in our towns and in our neighborhoods. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those who we lift up before you. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached limits of their treatments. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Thank you for our youth, their families, and all those who provide for our Vacation Bible School program this year. Fill us anew with your Spirit, your joy, your love, and your new life and your hope. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day, we lift up Don and those whom we name before you in our hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated.
Oh, come on up. What is it? Come on down. That was The Price is Right, right? That I never watched, but come on down. Yeah, I forgot to put in the bullets, and I'm glad you're going. I know, thank you. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. Between you and me and God, yeah. And all of them. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Shannon Porath, Morgan Brading, Tanya Phillips, Morgan Olson, and Victoria Rudine. Happy birthday this week to Ava Gehring, Sadie Porath, and Derek Taylor. Happy anniversary this week to Hank and Debbie Boomer. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones found there? If not, speak now or forever hold your peace. Other. Go.
I almost forgot you. You're sitting right here.
Hello. Daily Bread is tomorrow from 5:30 to 6:30. The Senior Citizen Center will be providing dinner for us. We're going to be having chili dogs. If you would like to volunteer, please come see me, and please come and join us for dinner tomorrow night.
On a hot summer night, you don't want to cook anyway, so come out here. We even got the air conditioning working in the fellowship hall. That's a good thing. I now invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time in preparation for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possession. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving in preparation for the Holy Communion, found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, This is my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal. Page 146.
Thank you.
please rise with the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Hymn 208. Guide me, ever great redeemer. Sing it like you mean it. 618.